2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. 2 Samuel 11 and 12. In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 11 and 12. I'm hoping, guys, that y'all read this, but you're probably very familiar with this story as we're going to be dealing with another very low time in the life of King David, who was a man after God's own heart. This story brings a lot of hope for me, and maybe we can talk more about that here in just a minute. I hope you were able to read it. If you haven't been able to read it, please skim over with your Old Testament as we move along here, and because we don't have time to read it today. So, all right, let's go to God in prayer. Jehovah, our God, we're so grateful to call thee our Father. We're thankful for your mercy and your love and your grace. We're thankful to be able to call thee our Father who art in heaven. We're thankful for our King, Jesus. We're thankful, Father, that he paid the price, that which was required, for us to be holy and to be your children. Thank you, Father. Help us as we read from the Old Testament that we see Jesus in these pages and that we understand your character from them, Father. Help us to take and use the mistakes that David made to build us and strengthen us. And help us to resolve ourselves to be penitent as he was. Help us, Father, to use that as an example in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, all right. All right, we may get to this discussion question. Which temptations of David's is strongest or most prevalent today? Sexual, murder, deceit, power. Get to that. In fact, we might just talk about it now. We read later on that the apostle says that money is the root of what? Now that's what he says. But money isn't at stake here. Okay? This isn't about money. The desire that God Almighty has put in each of us for sexual relationships is strong, and it can lead to worse sins than you can ever imagine possible in your life. It can destroy the very fiber of your family. It can destroy and eliminate any decent character that you have, if not resolved. The desire for power is strong, no doubt. Chapter 10 really does belong, I think, with chapter 11 and 12, and there are several reasons why. But I want you to notice that 23 times, ladies and gentlemen, the word sinned is used, sinned, S-E-N-D, sinned, in the pages of 10, 11, and 12. David does a bunch of sending, we're going to find out. And then after he does all his sending, we're going to find out that then God sends. And I think it's an important lesson for us. Please understand, ladies and gentlemen, please. We live in a grossly sex-filled environment. And anybody that breathes on this earth that is thinking rationally understands that. And it used to be said that the problem was mainly with men. Not so anymore. Not according to statistics. Where are Israel's armies at the start of this story? The better question is where is David? Where are the armies of Israel? They're in battle, aren't they? Who are they fighting against? The Ammonites. The besiege of where? Rabbah, okay? Now, it talks about in the spring of the year, okay? They were warring in the spring of the year. And so it also could be that it was about a year since the Ammon battle began. But at this point, go back to chapter 8, verse 6 and 14, and recognize the fact that wherever David went, whatever he was involved in, the Lord helped David. It's a story full of sending. The Lord sent David here, and he sent his people here, and he sent, and he sent, and he sent. And they were all at battle, and where was David? Well, what was he doing at Jerusalem? He stayed home. Some people say that maybe that's where the problem started. Well, I think it's wrong to think that all of this trouble began, this chain of events of adultery and murder. While Joab is laying siege to Rabbah, Satan is laying siege to David. David should have been there. David was not there. I don't know if he was bored. I don't know if he had something else to do, but the fact remains that David showed his disregard for his men being in battle, and we also see that he showed his disregard for marriage. And he did it many times. When you go back and you look at 2 Samuel and some of 1 Samuel, mostly in 2 Samuel, chapter 25 in 1 Samuel, the fact remains that David showed such disregard for God's plan for marriage. And why is that? Because he took what? He had a whole bunch of wives, didn't he? He took on wives. Well, is that God's plan? So David showed an indulgence for what? Maybe better said, his passion. Okay? Listen, this matter of Bathsheba, don't kid yourself. This is a result of something that had been going on for at least the last 20 years with David, minimum. The last 20 years. Staying home provided the opportunity for this issue to display itself. David loved his women. And I'll tell you, we'll make the point later, that what Solomon saw in his daddy was magnified, multiplied in his life. Because the last time I looked, how many wives did he have and how many concubines? 700 and 300. Now, I'm just going to ask a newly married man, Brother Reed over here. Brother, can you handle more than one woman? I've been married for 30 years, and I guarantee you I can't handle more than one. That brother had 1,000. Don't you see what happens? Don't you understand what happens? So a lot of people say, well, you know, today, Steve, the situation in America today and the internet and all that, you know, it's a whole lot worse temptation than what it was then. Do you believe that for a second? Come on, man. Where was David when he should have been in battle? Yeah, he's on his rooftop walking around, isn't he? What? I mean, twiddling his fingers, or what was he doing? What? I mean, did all of a sudden they just get finished making a jacuzzi down there? I mean, did somebody just build a bath down there? It's the first time, you know? And he's walking around up there in the palace, up there on the top, and he's looking down, and what does he see? He sees Bathsheba doing what? Now, what should he have done? What he should have done is the same thing Joseph did. He did what? He gone. Right? That's not what he did, is it? What'd he do? What about you, ladies and gentlemen? You in this country are walking on the top of the palace every day. You have everything you want. Most of you have more than you need. I know that's the case for me. What are you looking at? They say that pornography is becoming most prevalent with women now. I didn't think I would ever hear or see the day. But so it is. I think it's unlikely that David expected or planned to see her. It might very well have been that they did put a new... And it was common that you would bathe outside, okay? But the fact of the matter is that they typically did it late at night where no one... And here's the point I want to make about that. I'm just gonna come on out and say it. Don't think that Bathsheba didn't have nothing to do with this. If Bathsheba knew that her in her tub bathing could be seen from the top of the palace right there, maybe it might have been a good idea for her not to bathe at that time. And I'll tell you something, men. I'll tell you something, ladies. You have no idea what it's like to be a man who comes in contact with a woman who doesn't have any clothes on. And this day and age, that happens quite often just by walking around inappropriately dressed, and the attitude is, look, that's his problem, that's not mine. No. And people wonder how come they get raped all the time. Let me tell you, what goes through a man's mind, I mean, that's like cocaine up here, okay? I want to be sure you understand that. Please, dress appropriately. David chose to keep his eye on her, to look at her. And you know what? All those wives David had didn't satisfy him. What does it take? What do you need? It didn't satisfy his lust. He was not satisfied with what God gave him. Let me tell you what, if you're married or you're about to be married, please understand this. God has given her to you. And God has given him to you. And that's the gift from God. To enjoy that covenant together until death do you part. If one woman isn't enough for David, 1,000 women weren't enough for Solomon. David had more than one. I think it's important for us to consider these things. So, number two, describe the progression of sin. How does David try to cover it up? Well, he sees this beautiful lady with no clothes on. And so he sins, here's that word sinned again, he sins to inquire about her. Do we think that he knew who she was? He knew exactly who she was. Uriah was one of his top 30 men. And her father was one of his top 30, and her father, he knew exactly who she was. You know the reason why he didn't go down there and get her himself? Cover. Now let me ask you a question. Whenever you get the craziness in your head to try to think you're going to do something in secret, who is it that can see that clearly? No problem, no issue. I mean, you just need to think about that for a minute. Okay, you're not hiding anything from anybody. Nothing, zero. Okay, no hiding. You can't hide from him. It's not possible. So she sends back to David and says, uh-oh, I'm pregnant. Well, that wasn't supposed to happen. How did that happen? How many young people I have counseled who have looked at me in the face and say, well, I just didn't know how that could happen. I'm serious. You didn't know how it could happen. The question is not how did it happen, I guess. The question is what's right now? For those that have made the mistake is made. You say it's a mistake. We shouldn't have handled it that way, but what came of that? A child is never a mistake, ever. Do never, ever, ever call a child a mistake. There is no child that is a mistake. A child is a gift from God. What you're going to have to do is, if you find yourself in that situation, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to determine to handle that child properly and to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Put your mind on doing what you have to do in order to raise the child right. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you make your mind up to do that, God's going to help you do it. Okay? God's going to help you do that. People make mistakes. And the reason why I said what I said about what? You didn't know how you did it. Look, there's young people in here that aren't married yet. Okay? You know how it is. It happens. Don't make that mistake. What does the scripture say about the temptation and the desire that burns within you? It's better to what? Marry than to burn. Do the right thing. Pick the right person. You know, I tell you something. I was so fortunate. My mother was married to what she thought was a great man. I just came to find out that when I was born, there was two other people. I've got some half brothers somewhere, I think. And when she found that out, of course, she had to put that man away. But I'll tell you what she did right then from the start. And she did nothing wrong. She married and she became pregnant, and I was the result of that. But I'll tell you what she did. From that beginning right there, she made her mind up. She was going to go to school, finish school. She was going to get a teaching job, and she was going to support me no matter what it took. She resolved herself to that. But more than that, she prayed every day to God Almighty to provide her a godly husband. And guess what? David Garrett came along. Any of you that know him, understand when I tell you that God Almighty brought a godly man to my mother. None better. And he took me and adopted me as his own. And I've even had people here recently come up to me and say, boy, you really look like your daddy. And I say, thank you very much. What a wonderful compliment. I hope I can be on the inside the way he might appear on the out. And so I'm telling you, if somebody's made a mistake in here, that baby's not a mistake. Do the right thing. Okay, so she sins and I'm pregnant and he sins. Everybody's sending. And he sends for Uriah the Hittite. Now, the Hebrew word for walked up there on that roof, that Hebrew word literally means paced back and forth. He paced back and forth. That's what it means. He was pacing back and forth. He couldn't sleep. He wasn't where God wanted him to be. He was in the wrong place. He let the temptation boil up inside of you. And let me tell you something, men. Before you get yourself involved in some kind of a problem, it's probably because you're bored and you don't have stuff going on that you need to have going on. What you need to do is go find something you're supposed to be doing and go do it. And get your mind off of making a mistake. Okay? And so he sends for Uriah the Hittite, and then he encourages Uriah to go home and enjoy his wife. Really? So what's he trying to do in his scheme? Oh, he's trying to cover his tracks. Wouldn't that be something whenever the child is born and he looks like David? Uriah's going, how did the brother get black hair? I don't know. You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, this is crazy. Well, you know, the child could pass for Uriah's, and Bathsheba's honor can be screened. Again, I can take care of that, and my crime can be concealed. I'll work it all out. I'm telling you, at that time, he wasn't thinking about murdering Uriah. Look, the plan was to get Uriah to come home from battle, drunk him up a little bit. Now, what do you think about that? Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get him drunk, okay? Drunk him up a little bit. Send him to the house. Problem solved. So that didn't work. Yeah, you know what this tells me? Here I've got David was drunk with lust when he slept with Bathsheba. And he hoped by making Uriah drunk with wine that that would bring the same result. But what did Uriah do? Uriah said, no. All my brothers are where? All my brothers are in battle, okay? And so what does he do? He sleeps by what? He sleeps by David's gate. Didn't work. Uh-oh. Now what are we going to do? So we've got a drunk foreign convert that's more righteous than David. This guy Uriah was a foreign convert. I want to be sure you understand that. And he's more righteous than sober David. Okay? And even worse, David sends the order to murder him by his own hands. He gives the letter to Uriah, sends him back to battle, right? He failed to cover his sin. He wanted Uriah dead. I know a lot of people who are in that situation, who really would like to have the person they committed adultery with dead. And the reason is, they'd make it easy for what? Yeah. Fact of the matter is, that kind of person wouldn't be satisfied with that person very long either. So, if David had only thought, y'all, if he had only thought about this, he would have seen the cost. He would have seen the cost. An unwanted pregnancy, the murder of a trusted friend, a dead baby, his daughter raped by his son. Listen to me. God said what? You brought this on your family and on Israel in what? In secret, and I will bring it on you and your family how? Openly. His daughter's raped by his son, one son murdered by the other, a civil war led by his son against him, a son who imitated David's lack of self-control, which would be Solomon, and he, because of that, turned away from God. Now let me ask you a question. How many people have I counseled who has told me, well, this ain't gonna hurt nobody but me, Steve? Come on, man. This ain't gonna hurt nobody but me. Let me tell you something. You can't sin, ladies and gentlemen. Believe me, because I've done a whole bunch of sinning. And I'm telling you, you cannot sin and it only affect you. It's going to affect a lot of people. A whole bunch of people. And you know what the funny thing is about unwanted pregnancies? You know what the thing is about that? I've had people say, well, that won't affect the child at all. What we did ain't gonna affect the child. Let me tell you something. I've been there. It affects that kid's future. One of these days, he's going to find out. She's going to find out who's mom and daddy. No family. All jacked up. No grandparents. I was fortunate myself, to tell you the truth, because I ended up getting a whole nother set of family. They were wonderful, too. Accepted me just like that. Okay? I mean, I got the Garrett family. I was very fortunate. And then I'll never forget how old I was whenever Dad asked me. He said, hey, you wanna have the Garrett name? He said, would you like to be Garrett, Stephen Garrett? Well, at the time, my middle name was Kirk, K-I-R-K. And Dad said, how about I give you two names? And I said, really? He said, yeah, two names. I said, well, what would it be? He said, well, I'll give you my middle name and my last name. How about that? Dude, that was cool. So anyway, I told the judge. Judge asked me. He said, you know this guy? I said, yeah, I sure do. And he said, you like him? I said, he's a great fella. You want him to be your dad? Yeah, I would really like that. And he said, sure. And I said, I'm sure. Now, the first time Dad put a whooping on me, I was screaming and hollering at Mama and telling me, you better get this man out of here. You know, he put a whooping down on me. But let me tell you something. I'll never forget it, y'all, as long, because I was under my bed, okay? I was hiding under the bed. And he came in there, and tears were streaming down his face like that. He took me and held me, and he said, I remember all this. Clearly, I want to be sure you understand this. I'm a little boy. I remember it. He put his arms around me, tears streaming down his, and he said, I whipped you because I love you. And I want you to grow up to be a good, godly man. That's what he said. I was fortunate. Everybody isn't. And I tell you these very personal things because I want to be sure you understand. This is serious business. Please. We don't talk about it enough. We're afraid to talk about it. We don't want to have to deal with it. We don't have to face it. David had to face it. Now, not only was Uriah... Joab, I cannot even believe this. He gets the letter. Joab does the murdering for David, okay? So what does he do? Pushes the battle towards the wall so that he's in close contact with the archers, right? Right? And so then they pull back away from Uriah. But not everybody was saved besides Uriah. He was killed by the archers, but there were others too. The report of the dead men, though, in chapter 11, verse 25, you talk about callous. This is callous. It was casually dismissed by David. Now, this is a man that Jehovah said was a man after his own heart. And I'm telling you, I told you before that now I got hope. I got hope. I got hope. If Jehovah my God can look at what David did after David repented. Saul didn't do that. Saul never repented based, I can see on scripture, but David repented. David tore his clothes. He changed his attitude. He was going to make the very best of it. It's that attitude, ladies and gentlemen, that makes you a man after God's own heart. Every one of us can be that. Every last one of us. But you got to have a heart that repents when you do something that's wrong. And you don't blame everybody else. You blame yourself. You deal with what you've got to deal with, and you ask God to help you. So now let's talk about Miss Bathsheba. So she finishes mourning for Uriah, and then David sends for her again and brings her to his house, and he does what? He marries her. Yeah. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever have to pay. And more than you want to pay. So, that's what we talked about right there, in case you want to make notes. And we talked about how David could have avoided this. Be thankful for his own wife, for starters. Have relations with his own wife. Have relations with the wife God gave him. Let's talk about Nathan for a minute. What did Nathan say to David? Told him a what? Told him a story about yeah, and what happened in that story? Rich man took what the poor man had. Was that theft? Was he thieving? He's a rich man, he's thieving, right? What? Oh, he had a lot of animals, but he went to the poor guy and he thieved from the poor guy, right? The sin Nathan describes, y'all, and I haven't heard this oftentimes talked about, but the sin that Nathan is describing is theft. Okay? That's what it is. It's theft. There is a sense in which David stole something from Uriah. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3 through 5 says, in marriage, a husband has what over his wife's body? Word is authority. And the woman has what over her husband's body? Authority. Did David have authority over Bathsheba's body? Nope. Not as far as I can see. David didn't have this authority. He stole it from Uriah. He stole it. He took it away. He's king. And you know what? Bathsheba let him do it. Takes two to tango, folks. And let me tell you something else. In that day and time, if you were caught in adultery, what happened? They just kill you. Kill both of you. They take you both out, stone you to death. That's what would happen. Don't think she didn't know that either. Don't think she didn't know that. God explained to David that his sin was really an expression of ingratitude. Now you think about this for a minute. What has Jehovah our God done for David? Think about it. Over and over and over and over. And not only that, God said in Scripture right here, he says, I would have given you more and more and more and more, but you decided that you were going to thieve from Uriah and take what wasn't yours. What do I have to give you? And the question comes back to us, ladies and gentlemen, today. What does he have to give us in order for us to love him and keep his commandments? David sought sin. He wanted it. He desired it. And that sin erupted and grew into what? Horror story. And you know what? It happens every time. Every last time. Now, in the Old Testament, there had to be, in this case of this sheep herder, David knew the law. There was a four-part compensation plan that needed to occur. And Nathan says, you're the man, buddy. God exacted a fourfold restitution for Uriah from four of David's sons. Okay, let's name them. Bathsheba's child. Did the child live? Nope. Who took the child? That's number one. Amnon. Remember the story about Amnon? Absalom and Adonijah. I will tell you, despising God's commands means you're despising God himself. And if you despise God Almighty and you put him to the test, you will not win. You will lose. You will lose here and you will lose there every time. Look, the fourfold compensation deal, if you want to look, it's in Exodus chapter 22. Go back and look, okay? Go back and look. You despised Yahweh. That's what the scripture says. You despised Yahweh by doing evil. Now there'll be open warfare in your house. You despised. So, let's see here. David troubles another man's house, and so God does what? He troubles his house. David violated another man's wife, and so another will what? Will violate his wife. Okay? David reaps what he has sown. But you see, he doesn't only reap what he's sown. He's reaped what he's sown with interest. Okay? There's some interest on top of that because the murderous nightmare never left his house as long as he lived. And yet he was still a man after God's own heart. Unbelievable, isn't it? God loved him after all of that. God would put up with all of that. David repents. He tears his clothes. He's on the ground. Physicians are coming around. They don't know what's going on. He's just out, man. He's just down there. He's sobbing. He's, you know. What was Saul's reaction? Saul was still making excuses before he died. David just repenting. David just wants another chance. David wants to turn around. David wants to learn from his mistakes. David wants to put God first in his life. And there were other times that David fell too, but the fact of the matter is that was his heart. He wanted to do good. He wanted to do right. That was what he wanted to do. And that is how you are a man after God's own heart. Because you desire to do what's necessary to get back and right with God when things don't go right. God's story for Nathan. Talked about that. David's response. I love this. Unless you're stronger than Samson, wiser than Solomon, and holier than David, be alert for sexual sin. Everybody get that? Well, I've been married for 30 years. Yes, indeed, I have been married for 30 years. And you don't think that I could be tempted? The minute that you say, hey, temptation, that can't work on me, man, because I've gone and been married for 30 years and I'm happy, I got all I want. Immediately, you better take cover. Because you're open season to the devil. He's going to start taking shots at you, and with that attitude, unless you're stronger than Samson, wiser than Solomon, and holier than David, be alert for sexual sin. Y'all got that? Okay. I think the way that people often deal with stuff like this is that they want to defend, justify, and attempt to explain.
I'm doing the right thing now, God. I mean, you know, I messed up before, but hey, man, I'm making it right. I'm taking her back in. I'm making her my wife, man. I'm cleaning this stuff up. I got this thing right, right? Who was it that instructed our young ladies that the proper thing to do was to marry the scalawag that got them pregnant to begin with? Who was it that told them that? Now, you talk about dumb. D-U-M. That's dumb. Listen, that young man or that older man or whoever he is, he would have a long way to go before I took him into my house. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to pray for a godly man. You need to pray for a godly wife. Don't make excuses. Oh, well, I'm going to take you in, man. I got this. I'm going to provide a house for you and everything like that. What do you think is going to keep that guy from doing the exact same thing he did to you to somebody else? All right. Highlights or surprises of Nathan's speech. God Almighty looked at David after he repented and he said, "Your sins have been taken away." There's forgiveness in the Old Testament. There's grace and mercy in the Old Testament. But sin always has what? Even if you're forgiven, sin always has what? Consequences. Do the consequences always go away? Seldom. Seldom. It's how you handle them. See, that's where the wisdom comes. It's how you handle those situations. All right. Okay, let's see. Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about this. There's a difference in judgment for sin and judgment by sin. God forgave him, David, but he doesn't shield him from those circumstances. The Lord strikes this child dead. Was that child guilty of anything? Why is it that the innocent has to suffer? Why? Why is it that the innocent have to suffer? What did I do? I did nothing wrong. What? You know, my birth father decided to get two women pregnant, and I was left with a mother and no dad. What did I do? And I just showed up on the scene. Don't you see? Don't you understand? The innocent suffer. Here's the thing. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get this. The writer here says something that I'll never forget. It really hit me hard. Uriah's dead, right? And David is legally married to Bathsheba, right? Well, legally he is, right? He took her as a wife. But how does the writer of 2 Samuel refer to Bathsheba? Every time. That's right. That's Uriah's wife. Ladies and gentlemen, when you make a covenant with Jehovah our God, I want to be sure you understand something. If he does not break that covenant because of sexual sin, or your mate dies, the covenant is still intact. God makes covenants, and God breaks covenants. Okay? David murdered Uriah. And in the writer's viewpoint at that time, he referred to her as Uriah's wife. Understand, I know that he's dead. But what's the point? The point is you don't do what? You don't break God's covenants. Right? Uriah's death and subsequent marriage, Uriah's death and David's subsequent marriage does not make everything okay. Doesn't make everything okay. All right? Let's be sure we understand. Okay, so interestingly enough, who's born at the end of the chapter?
Solomon. And who gave birth to Solomon? Yep. So you say, well, that kind of turned out good, didn't it? Not so good. Solomon was supposed to be all that in this, and he ended up leaving the Lord. A family that could have been unbelievable, fantastic, that could have shone throughout the centuries, was reduced to what? Nothing. All because that's why. But all of us, we're going to learn from that mistake, and we're not going to make that mistake, are we? We're going to think before we react. Thank you very much. Good, brother. How are you doing?
Good. I don't know if I ever told you this. When my